I think, Jimmy, you had a situation where your mother died when you were 16.
Yeah.
And I was talking to some people about that here today, and if you were at 16, so this is not rocket science, it's all pretty easy to work out, everything now, using this framework, honest knowledge. So you're 16, right? Your mother dies. And that's going to be like a spear through the heart, right? And you've just come through or on the edge of resignation. If I try to walk a mile in your shoes at that point, feel what it must have been like. To have to resign is to actually kill off soul. And your mother represents soul, right? So it's actually going to be a big incentive not to resign, not to kill off your soul. Because she meant so much, you can't turn your back on her. Do you know what I mean? Disown her, who she was. It was so precious to you. So I think if you lose your mother when you're in the midst of resignation, it's going to make resignation hard because, in effect, you're going to have to kill off your mum, which is exceptionally hard. Do you know what I mean? Disown her kind of thing. So I suspect that, you know, resignation, because you were able to hear this and read this, you know, so there must be some sort of ship at sea aspect to you. And it might source at that problem, that event. So, Jimmy, you were saying when you came in the door that you've had this sort of epiphany a couple of weeks ago. Just tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, it was off the back of the email trail between you and Franklin. It was around that Sunday night when you were sent through the tsunami one. And something that last couple of emails, like obviously since about 2003 when I read Species in Denial, so I knew it was true. But then for the next 13 years, just didn't really move on from that at all. But I just got the sense reading that email trail that I've only ever been sort of listening to you and watching your videos, but now Franklin's in the mix. And so it's growing. And then you can see how it's actually going to grow. It's going to grow out in these rings of hearability. I think because once that sunk in, that's what also sunk in was that this is actually true. So it's true, but it's really true.
You said at the very beginning, I knew this information was true. So yeah. What's this new form of truth?
It's sort of applying it to myself as well. So it's seeping in at a deeper level. So back then it was just, yeah, it all makes sense. And I remember going out into the world and looking at people and seeing it here, there and everywhere. And then that ability has sort of lessened over time. But this was different to that. And it was, this is all true. And what I've been living off is actually the false thing. And it was that, you know, you, then Franklin, and that building, that sort of momentum that was growing, that actually was really sort of felt like it sort of unlocked that ability to know that that's actually true and the old world's actually false.
Okay, so you ticked the boxes and said this information all makes sense,
yep.
But you're in the Mexican standoff equivalent of these blokes when they were still living off the power, fame and glory trip, the resigned strategy to life.
Yeah.
So you were having we call it pocketing the wind, kind of having your cake and eat it too.
Yeah,
you were saying, oh, the information stacks up, but I'm going to... Pocketing the wind means you actually use... You now got inside information, what everyone's doing, to actually get more wins.
Yeah.
So you pocket the win. It makes you more empowered. They don't know what's going on. I do. I can be even more successful, which is a rip-off kind of thing. It's part of the, you know... So, okay, you said you were... You knew it was true, and but you're still soaked in the old power, fame, fortune, glory. Like you said, you got a good wife and good, wonderful kids, and you know, and you're happy with that. What's wrong? And so you couldn't shake off that attachment to that power, fame, and glory trip.
Yeah.
The resign strategy.
Yeah. Yeah, but then, I mean, over time, obviously I'm 38 now, and I was getting a bit desperate in my lack of progress. So recently I've really been trying hard to take that next step. And I remember talking to Tony Mile in one of those video calls we had, and it's like breaking a horse. You don't want to push it too far. You just need to do a bit and then back off. And especially since, you know, Franklin came on the scene, I was really trying to actually take that next step. I was being very mindful of all my little interactions in the world and how I was actually trying to get a win here and here, and every time you speak to someone, you go in there and you're actually trying to get something. And then once that tsunami email chain came through, and, you know, literally the day after, I just noticed when I went out into the world that day, that wasn't happening. So I'd actually go speak to someone and, you know, I could actually hear what they were saying back to me. And I wasn't going in, you know, with some kind of agenda into that interaction. So, and then what I also noticed is because of that, people already, and this is only 2 weeks, they do actually, their reaction to me is different. And then it kind of spirals, and then you almost have to tone it down when you're at work and you're in a meeting and you just want to, yeah, because it's...
So you sort of say you change sides from being wedded to that power, fame, glory, resign strategy. You suddenly were no longer wedded to it, and it was transparent to you. And
yeah, it's definitely there, and it's an internal conversation. I've had probably 2 or 3 of those in the last 2 weeks where it almost tries to reassert. But then, and I've got notes in my phone about what I did to push that back, like rereading the email chain. And it's almost like, you know, you have this ability to logically blunt that off and to keep in this framework that actually allows me to just, you know, it's almost like feels like you're drunk or high, but you're not. But, you know, it's, you actually have this openness, which I've never had. Like, usually when I... especially a social situation, I'll be very quite reserved, and I usually try and have a couple of beers just to calm myself. But that's that kind of nervousness, and that's all gone. And the whole, I can just feel it, the whole, when I interact with someone, it's not there anymore. It's not that need to get a win out of it.
And so you two guys watching this closely, because this is somebody who's a little bit limited with the information, and is talking about having put things in the suitcase, left something behind, and taken up this free state, free of the human condition. So this is a little description right in front of us, because we haven't heard it before, of having made this transformation. So you just describe a certain freedom he's got, you know, joyousness.
And it was almost something that happened overnight. So I woke up, and then there was just something different on that Monday morning. And then obviously I noticed it because I was watching for it. I've been watching for it for a long time. But then once you sort of feel it and you're in this sort of positive feedback loop, like you interact with someone, they look at you slightly different because you aren't going into that interaction trying to get something out of it. And then it just goes from there. Yeah.
Tony, what do you think about all this?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly sounds like the early stages of the transformed state in that sense. I mean, it makes complete sense to me. I mean, if anything's going to get through the procrastination, if you like, of that standoff, it's going to be those emails, and then particularly the tsunami of, you know, where fucking hell, something's actually happening here and I'm going to miss out. I've been doing this for bloody 13 years and I can't just, you know, there was that email you wrote, I think it was something like, I've just got a support or something. We just need to support this, which is sort of that, it's that realization, I suppose, that you just... that you're really starting to go, hang on a minute.
Reading how Jeremy doesn't know how to take in the good things happening to him made me sad and quite angry for a moment. But very quickly this became a resolve just to help. We've never heard that from you before.
No. Because it was also the email chain. It gave an insight into what's going on here. And like Tony's conversation with you, and you sort of sharing that you've been, you know, enormously hurt by the whole process. process, it just made it a lot realer, you know, made it far more real. And then, of course, the whole, you know, it's actually happening. You know, it's real, it's happening. There are people involved here getting hurt, and it's actually is what it says it is. So I need to move on it.
Okay, so this is enormously precious for you. You know, this, to be able to get, I have this drawing, this bubble drawing, I don't know whether.
Yeah.
But when you're in your bubble, you can't see out of it. You know, yeah. And you've got to get outside the bubble before you can start to rat on it. And
yeah.
And when you're in it, you know, you can't see it. So you've got to be able to get outside your bubble and start to see what you're doing, you know. That's what I've been doing with you two every day. I've been performing therapy. I keep talking about this other world because I know how much you detested this false world. And no one will ever admit that it is even false. So I just rat on it hour after hour in front of you because I know the therapy that must be ripping through your whole body, the relief that finally someone's blowing the whistle on what the shit is happening over there. You know, that must be draining it out. Whew. You know, fucking relief, you know. So I'm outside the bubble doing it for you to get you speeded through so you're outside the bubble and you can more and more see, yeah, fuck, here, yeah, I have been to that. I have, oh shit, yeah, I was playing that game big time and I was playing that and I wasn't happy doing that, you know, and all that. And it's sort of, that's how therapy works, that journey from not being able to see outside your bubble. And the transformed state is, in terms of what Jimmy's just said, is really important because Jimmy's just said that he was stuck inside the bubble for, what is it, 13 years or something. And then the power of that, that dialogue with us, especially ending in that crescendo, because I knew that the moment you send that email and said something about, have I got them all here? You said something about, this will freeze you up or something. Anyway, I knew.
Can't put understanding robed in sunlight. What can stand against that?
Good on you, friend. Give us another. Say that again.
Armed with understanding and robed in sunlight, what can stand against that?
Armed in understanding and robed in sunlight, what can stand against that? When you said that, boombo, I knew I was home. Because what did I do? I said, right, I'm going to run with that like you would not believe. So I know the great weapons on this transformed state, and that's Joel and Isaiah and Tony's writing, actually. I've actually added to that letter since because we're publishing these letters as a whole series. And I added Tony's because Tony's got some wonderful descriptions of the transformed. But so I wheeled them straight in. Joel, you know, coming over the rooftops and through the, you know, not jostling each other. And Isaiah, what about fucking Isaiah? The description of, you know, the streams will run with, you know, and the mountains, the deserts will. Oh, it's just unbelievably beautiful stuff. All those people, so long ago, what's that? What I said in there, I think Joel's 800 years before Christ and Isaiah's 600 or something like that, you know, a long, long time ago. But all they were interested in is this day and this minute, right? This minute, this day, this week, what's happening now? Because everything else in between is just crap. More fighting, wars, it's all shit. You know, men trying to get a win, build big castles and, you know, promenade outside the castle. Oh, you want to come in, you got to pay, deference to me and all the shit that's going on. They just live for this day. So I wheeled those in straight away and I said, that's it, exactly. We're out of here, you know? And then what happened, bloody, and I wondered if everybody would get that. Because it was such a significant thing, the trick I'd played kind of thing, by running with what you'd done you started, I'll finish it like you won't believe. So I, boom, raced to the finishing line, explained how good it is, right? And so then I was wondering if anybody would get it. And, the thing, what I'd done there. And sure enough, Sam Akraditi sends that thing about the tsunami. And it was just spectacular what he says, you know? Oh, dude, it was so fucking good. And it was just, I didn't know Sam could write at all, let alone that. But what was so funny was the next day, so I wrote and I put it in the newsletter, I made it into our group newsletter, the tsunami bit, you know, because it was so good. And so it goes out to Sam's mate, Frank, you know. And then Frank sends this email Sam sends us this email of what happened, that Frank's rung him up and says, Sam, have you seen the latest newsletter? And Sam, this is Sam talking about himself. No, I haven't. What are you all steamed up about, Frank? Look, you've just got to see it right now. Open your fucking inbox. Open your inbox right now. This is Sam talking, you know, relaying what happened. Okay, Sam, I will. Okay. And it goes on like this, you know. You won't believe it. You know, Jeremy's described you as, you know, this will go down in the whole history of the human journey as one of the great moments. Can you realise what that is? You don't have to do anything again for the rest of your life, Sam. It's the funniest email. This is Sam ratting on himself, you know, relating this, Frank getting so excited about, because I said, you know, this response stands on a pinnacle in the whole of the human journey. It's so precious what you've said here, Sam. And Frank's got so excited about this. Yeah, anyway, it was an amazing little passage of stuff. Because, oh, I mean, I love Joel, and, you know, the Joel effect has gone down in history in our little group. We talk about it all the time. But you walked into that one. You know, you got it there. Because you're so good on paper, Frank. You're so articulate. Express yourself so well. And it was just beautiful. So that's very interesting. So Jimmy's saying that our little back and forths actually walked him along, and then it builds up to this crescendo, and then Sam throws in the tsunami to put the icing on the cake, and poor old Jimmy said, wow, where do I sign? And that cracked it for you.
Yeah. Although I got to say, I respond more to that middle thing. I think I'm sort of moving away from that bubble.
Yeah. No. You're 2 weeks into it.
Yeah.
You stop and go, if we were to replay what Tony just said, as I told you earlier, you've got to listen to every word Tony says.
Yeah.
Tony says, you know, that's the beginning of the transformed state, because you've got to cement it in. But that's once you've tasted it, you can do it again and again. You'll discover. You get terrified you won't be able to reproduce.
That's why I'm writing stuff down about how I get back to that
document.
Yeah.
Because it's so good to have found freedom, you know, that you're scared you'll lose it, you know. And so you've got it, and you do have to. And what you said was, you said it twice. I'm talking to friends, and I know. So this is outside of the bubble sort of stuff. I know that in a week or two ago, I would have been listening to what they're saying and recasting it in my way to get a win out of it, or some way like that. So it would have been a game. But now I'm not. Now I'm seeing what I used to do and not needing it. And then you went on twice also, say how much relief that's bringing you, how much freedom, I think was the word. And how special that is, you know, and that is the transformed state when you let it go, and discover life on the other side. It was really funny the other day. I'm not in the last fucking talk when everyone was here last weekend. I can't remember, but I get frustrated with the transformation stuff, right? And I always say, can't I just tell you the St. Paul's story where he fell off the fucking donkey, you know, because that's so easy to understand. So I head into my old fucking, you know. So St. Paul is upset, angry human, you know, and he's probably a power addict from hell, you know, and he wants to hammer these innocents that are supporting this innocent, and, you know, and bury the soul and stop its condemnation, you know. And he's on a road, and he was there giving voice to Stephen. To the stoning of Stephen for Stephen's defence of Christ, because Stephen said, "You can get fucked, I'm not going to disown him," and they killed him. And he was there giving voice to that, support for that. Then he's on a road on a donkey to Damascus to get, or wherever it was, to get permission to jail them all, and put an end to them forever. So he's one hateful, ferocious, you know, soul-hating individual. And really messed up. I mean, if you walk a mile and he was called Saul at that point. You know, Saul's very angry human. Very smart. He knows everything, read all the book, very well educated. Probably about your ages, maybe yours. Because he did a lot in a very short time when he felt, and I'll explain what happened. So he's really going to hate himself for being such a ferocious monster. I mean, you know, every now and again, everybody, no matter where they are, can see a little bit like this, you know, how full of shit they are or whatever, and detest it and loathe it, you know. So he's got this ultimate sort of paradox because he's got so much anger in him. But he's got this obvious, he never met Christ, but he met Stephen, so he knew this guy was the real deal. This guy was an exceptional innocent, a wonderfully sound person, and that he's setting about trying to eliminate him from planet Earth. And hating himself and seeing this contrast between his hateful self and this idealistic, this loving human that Stephen was prepared to die for. And in that, you know, moment of hating himself and recognizing the soundness of Christ, he just ran the idea just for a split second. What about if I supported him, not punished him? And then he got hit by the bolt of lightning, in effect, because he realized how he'd be free of himself. He'd be living in support of soundness and truth, and he would no longer hate himself. The rush of relief must have been astronomical. It's like, you know, when you're writing, you want to keep those writings because they're so precious, Jimmy. But if you go back and try to identify the key point, you know, when you actually tried it on, letting go, and you said it. So you got to have to go over your mind and say, so I'm reading that trail of correspondence, I've forgotten the phrase, and then I get to the tsunami. And it's building and building and building. And then it was so clean. It was such a beautiful conclusion that I just was overwhelmed by it. And that helped me let it all go. Right? So that's your moment of wrestling match and then let it go kind of thing, okay? So St. Paul, Saul, is going through this. And he's seeing how full of shit, how angry he is. And then how innocent this person is. And thinks, what about if I supported him? And suddenly all his pain of his life is lifted. He's free, and he feels this enormous freedom, which you've tasted. And you said, you know, the freedom from living that manipulative life that I've been living, it's ever since that moment, it's been something very precious to me, you know. And St. Paul had such a relief. The whole of the burden of the human condition lifted off his shoulders in that moment because he lived through Christ. So, to my mind, no one in the world could not understand that and equate with that, you know. So if you let this go, you'll feel the relief of having the whole human race, the human condition lifted off your shoulders, and you're just going to be fall off your donkey and go blind for 3 days, however you want to describe it. So I'm yabbering about all that stuff. And I said, so what the fuck, why can't everybody understand my analogy? Anyway, Tony piped up. Tony said, well, Jeremy, the reason is, they don't all see themselves as angry and, you know, brutal and violent. They just think that what they're doing is healthy and natural and the right way to be. So, yeah, well, that's the reason. I just got to have a wee. And that suddenly, you know, but that's the truth. You know, it's easy for me to sort of describe the transformation using that. But that's what they think he actually did fall off his fucking donkey, you know, and went blind. They don't realise that. They don't make the interpretation because they don't identify with being upset.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Yes.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yes, it is.
Oh. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
All that stuff about Mama, that's spot on. Like, I always thought that her dying was somehow a gift.
Yeah.
Yeah. Always thought that. And it obviously was, because it scattered the whole resignation.
Yeah.
Amazing. You almost need to stop and you need to think.
That's true. And from my own experience, you'll be digesting all this for a while. You will. Because it's just so, it's just like Jeremy says, there's just so much insight that comes from his ability to think so cleanly through everything. It just filters through all kinds of things. It helps you.
It just seeps through everything. Yeah, exactly. You said every sort of those mini blockages you put it.
Yeah.
You can actually go through all those.
Okay.
Anyway, that this is really good for you guys to hear somebody actually in front of us all, because we haven't heard it before, tell you about his transformation, what happened, okay? 13 years of pocketing the win, right? And not being able to move. And then through our correspondence and Sammy's wonderful tsunami. Did you ever get to hear the correspondence of the next day? Did anyone send it to you?
Yeah, the email. Yeah, absolutely.
The one, not Sam's, but the one that only described Frank ringing him up and saying, you've got to read this?
Yeah, I got that one as well.
That's really funny.
Yeah, it's classic.
It is a classic. Cool. It is so funny. It's so funny. It's good to meet them, because I've never met Frank, you know. He's such a likeable guy. He's got a heart of gold, Frank. Frank is so soft and, you know, they sort of work well together. So that was very special, right? That's a little window into how hard it is to get the transform station, yet how easy it is, which is Tony's thing about it. It's like stepping across a match. And yet it's like trying to climb Everest, you know. It's easy. And what's interesting in it is, you know, what helped you do it, you know, which was those emails and the tsunami. Because it is so infectious, that build-up. And how good was that Annie actually remembered the key words? You know, robed in sunlight or some funny thing. What is it? It's bloody good stuff. Fuck, mate, you can write. And that was the help that Jimmy needed to sort of let it go. And now he's writing it down furiously, doesn't forget it, you know, and tries to stay on the free side. But once you've cracked it, you know, you can... Well, Tony, you take it. What do you think? Where to from here for Jimmy?
I mean, it does take practice to get. I mean, it just takes a while to continue to keep doing that jig in your mind over and over again. The key thing, well, it's always been key for me. I mean, it's really, in one sense, I mean, Biggsy taught me was the 100% rule. Because it's just, I mean, especially in these, at this stage of where projects up to, the old world and the resigned state is just, it's inascension. So it's bloody hard to, you know, keep that clarity all the time, because everywhere you go, every person you'll meet, every situation and yourself all combined will all be saying, go back to the way you've been doing it, mate, and, you know, don't make too big of changes, don't, you know. So, and that's where that 100% thing comes in. If you don't really give yourself to this and start supporting it and living it, it's really hard to stay connected to it, because, well, for those reasons I just said, you know. So that's the 100% thing. You've done the hard bit. The hard bit is getting that fall off your donkey moment, the clarity, the seeing through yourself, the seeing that everything you're doing has just been absolute fucking rubbish. And, you know, the easy bit is supporting it. But, you know, in these times it does take, it takes effort, especially to get used to it, especially to make changes in your life, to be able to, you know, like Jeremy was saying, you know, just shedding off all the shit that you've been carrying on with, you know, doing that, it does take effort, and it does take, you know, like I know I had to make a lot of strong decisions, even in the early days with the transplant state. Look, Tony, I'm never, ever, ever going to miss another fucking meeting at, if they ask me to come to a meeting, I'll fucking go to it, I promise you. And it doesn't matter what I've gone on, I'm just going to go. And I just kept making decisions like that all the time to lock it in, because I know that this is real. I know the transplant state now. I've had that sort of, you know, moment of clarity. But, you know, you've got to lock it in and look after it and fucking, you know, well, it's like that thing that Franklin's saying, in that, you know, where it's a little candle in a bloody dark night or whatever. And you've got to look after that flame. And the only way that I've seen how to do it is to make some serious decisions about the way you've been living your life and getting rid of all the things that are fucking bullshit, and the ones that do take you back down that highway to all those resigned fucking.
See, Tony said, is in the ascension. The whole world is owned by the, in the power, fame, form, and glory seeking. So you're surrounded by people who want, basically, advocating you live that way. So you're trying to live in defiance of everything around you. Like we always say about Biggsy, right? Because he lives in the belly of the beast. I mean, he and Emma. But what's especially hard is for both of them. Well, John especially, because he's so transformed, is you've got to go and work in the old world. And if you're a lawyer and you're in there, you know, matching wits with the powerful and famous and the egocentric and all that shit, and there's huge egos in the fucking legal business. You know, trying to live in the old world is really hard, and still come back and maintain. So it's a tribute to John's how transformed he is, that he can withstand that intimidation and that intrusion and still coexist. So, you know, Tony's saying if you got to live in the old world, you're going to be seduced by it all the time. And so you've got to maintain that clarity and feed that, rather than, otherwise you get sucked back in and you wake up in the morning and think, what the fuck, how did I dream that I'm in? You know, you lose it. And it's true, you do have to make an effort to try to stay in that orbit. What you've just told us, and it's so good to hear it right between these two guys, because they don't know anything about transformation. You know, they've just been pissed off with the fucking bullshit world of resigned, you know. That's all they know. Now they've got some first-hand experience of how someone has actually lived through this and reached the transforming moment, you know. And that's really wonderful that they've had that experience, because they've got to go home. They've actually got to sell the transformed state. Then they're not part of the transformed, because they happen to be on the unresigned side of the fence all their life. So what happens over the resigned side is all totally new to them, you know, and how much crap they've got to give up and all that, and what happens when they do give up, and you know, it's all a revelation to them. But yeah, that's what I'd do. I'd try and come down and step at a time. So look, I want to go down and stay day a day. Do this one the same again, if you like. Go back the same day, you know, if that helps. Whatever. But just try to spend a bit of time here, you know? What are you going, Biggsy?
Just in terms of what Tom was saying too, and what Jeremy was saying about, I mean, if you really want to nurture the transformed state, it's not that. It's not... people think it's mechanically difficult, but that's only because they get themselves into their resigned knot and go round and round circles. And all the stuff about work is what the reason I can work in town and it doesn't trouble me is because I've learnt as best I can not to. The most difficult person you've got in this equation is not all the people around you, it's yourself. It's your resigned self. Because people don't realise it day to day, but the resigned self is a bomb-throwing fucking terrorist. And when you negotiate with your resigned self, you just sell out all the time. You don't do the right thing. So you get yourself lost and you get yourself confused and you drift around like a lost sheep because you can't, there's no honesty in your resigned self. It doesn't want to help the world, doesn't give a fuck about other people, doesn't want you to do the right thing, just wants you to stay wandering around lost. And that's pretty much, and so when you start negotiating with your resigned self, you just get fucked over. And I love that, because you've done some precious stuff in, I think, in what you've said. You know, you're 38 and you've seen yourself wander around like a lost sheep for 13 years and you're like, this is bullshit. You know, I'm just getting dicked around here. You know what I mean? I've got to take, and it reminds me of my own journey a lot, you know, because I wandered around the same thing. You're like, you know, I'm supposed to be here supporting. I can't support. Most of the time I'm getting in the way and causing problems, not helping. You know, like this is fucked, you know. But what causes that is engaging with your resigned self. And it's what Tony said is so true. You know, the way I do it is to never negotiate with my resigned self. You know, it's just not to negotiate with your resigned self. Just do the right thing all the time. And if you get that rule right, you'll be able to survive all the problems living in Brisbane. You know, you'll sort through all those other things will just fade away and become easily soluble problems. If you get that first rule right, if you nurture that connection you've got with this, which is a beautiful but fledgling connection. You know, if you grow that and commit yourself to it, and it's just that commitment to grow it and to always do the right thing, and it'll just, all the other problems will just melt, just absolutely melt. If you keep that one right. But if you fuck with that one, God help you, because you're dealing with the devil every day, and believe you me, you get fucked all the time when you deal with your resigned self. It's just what happens. So that's the way out of there, you know. But you've got the beginning of it. You've got a hold of it, and it's so basic. It's not complicated. It's just dealing with your resigned self all the time that fucks you. So, but I love what, you know, if you help yourself and you make the space. There's so many people here who can help you. Have been around and around that mulberry bush, you know, and made all the mistakes. You know what I mean? So we're happy to help. You know, I don't get any perverse pleasure about seeing people make the same massive blunders I did. So I help as much as I can. But if you make those efforts to stay connected, you'll find it's not complicated. It's basic. It's basic. You know, it's so basic. If you find yourself getting lost, it's because you're talking to your resigned self and you're making it intellectual and you're making yourself confused. The truth's always basic. You know, I'm resigned, I'm carried away with that, I'm carried away with my ego, I've lost the plot, I'm a resigned mess. You know, that's the reality of it. And if you want to find your way out of that, you say, okay, I'm sick of worrying about that, I'm just going to support the information, what can I do to support it? And you do something supportive. And if you nurture that and grow that, life's easy. Life's just incredibly easy. And you can wander around and town, stop. It's not that hard. As long as I don't negotiate with my resigned self, it's easy. I just wander around, talk to all these other lunatics. You know what I mean? I don't care. You know what I mean? But I don't make the mistake of getting back into a negotiation with my resigned self about, you know what I mean? I'm just there to do a job to help the new world. You know what I mean? So I'll talk to them all day long. But because I'm just the person that's really dangerous is me, is my resigned self. And if I stay away from that, everything's all right, you know. Everything, in fact, is better than all right. It's brilliant. Yeah, but you've got to keep the bomb thrower locked in the cupboard, the padlock in, you know.
No negotiation with terrorists. No,
you can't. You just can't, mate. They're just you get fucked every time.
Yeah.
Tell you.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. As soon as you do something, like even just booking my flight and then changing the flight to 9:30 p.m. like, it makes you feel really good.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're actually doing something.
That's it. That's it. Yeah. I could hear you when you rang me up on the day, you know, and the terrorist is sort of saying, cancel the flight, you know, cut it short, don't turn up, you know what I mean, say the fact, you know, and you're there going, oh, that doesn't sound good, I like the sound of that, you know, but I can feel you wrestling with it, you know what I mean, like, you know, and they're just, your resigned mind's always at you, you know. Yeah. Don't be as supportive. Go do something else and go fishing, go get pissed. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Do anything but the right thing, you know. Yeah. Anything.
I don't know. But the one thing I've learnt it's probably one of the things I like the most out of everything, I think. I don't know, anyway. But is the ability to be 100% sure about things Like an example, I was terrible with women. Hope, absolutely fucking hopeless, because I had that hurt, really hurt side of myself. I just fucking constantly tried to find a woman to hide behind, and so I'd go and grab the first woman and get her, but I'd just be walking around sort of hiding behind this fucking girl my whole time. So all I'm saying is I'm just absolutely hopeless with women. But particularly seeing Jeremy and seeing someone who has some real strength and real character, as opposed to someone who doesn't, like very insecure. But see, the transformed state, even though it's not a real thing in the sense that I'm not truly secure, but the transformed state takes you from a place where you can be 100% sure, like literally 100% sure in every situation that you're in, whoever you're talking to, all the time. And I just fucking love that, because I'm so insecure and I'm so crippled. But when I'm living for this, I'm not anymore. I'm not crippled anymore. I'm just so fucking front-footed, it's not funny. And so like that, it really, really helps. So with women and stuff, or just with talking to people outside, you know, again, I mean, it was just decisions where I'd actually be going, actually, Tony, you've got the transformed state. You know what's fucking right. You just got to do what's right. And when you do what's right, it is just fucking right. And I love that about that. And fuck, it makes a difference to your life. To you know, it takes, well, it took me like a long time to sort of, you know, really be able to sort of trust in that and say, hang on, no, you do know what's right, because this information is fucking right. And you can be as fucking, you know, just as strong as Jeremy in that sense of knowing, you know, absolutely 100% fearless and about sticking up for that and going from, you know, letting women fucking push you around or letting the old world push you around and all of that sort of stuff to, you know, like when I go up to people now, I say, they ask me what I'm doing, I say, I'm trying to save the world, that's what I'm doing, I'm fucking trying, and as long as I started there, I just know that I've done my fucking thing and I've said what I'm bloody doing, and they can take it or fucking leave it. But I just, anyway.
When you said, Jimmy, making that booking, you know, to 9 o'clock or something, and that was relief, right? That's actually the falling off the donkey. Like Biggsy said, if you're in a wrestling match with all this shit over here, you know, you're going nowhere. That it's simple. You just live for this. So you let all that go. So when you had that moment with the tsunami and the letters, you see, you had enormous bout of inspiration, which allowed you to try it on just once. This is so exciting. What about if I just live for this, right? And what happens in that moment is you hit with this rush of relief that you're doing it right. Everything's good. And suddenly you got your toe in the door. That's what happened, right? And that's the realization. And it's so hard, because that thing that Johnny talks about, that bomb-throwing fucking terrorist, that egomaniac and all that stuff, is so dominant. You actually never give it a chance just to let this support this and not that. Just to ignore all that, leave all that, no consequence. Just live for this. So he says, it's not a wrestling match. It's just a decision to live for this. And that's what you discovered in that moment. Under the enormous motivation of all that correspondence plus and the tsunami at the end, you finally had enough motivation to give it a thought. What about if I just live for this? Because I'm so, the obscenity of what I've been doing is so bad. This is so good and so needed. I'm just going to try it. So you actually gave it a chance, just once, just minuscule, and you're suddenly relieved. And that's the discovery. That's the falling off the donkey. Because that you get there by attrition. You get there by walking backwards. You get there because, okay, it's obscene, I've been doing that, it's not wrong, you know. And you persuade yourself that the logic says you should do it, right? But the astonishing thing is, when you do it, you discover the freedom. That's the shock. St. Paul's getting there, walking backwards. You know, I'm a bad bastard. I'm full of anger. I'm full of ferociousness. And I'm bloody, you know, I'm fucking this and I'm that. And finally, this guy must be, so I'll just try it. I'll just imagine if I did just live for this person, live for that instead of myself and all that madness. And so he suddenly turns around and sort of, as it were, wakes up in this state of incredible freedom. Cannot believe it. He wasn't expecting that. He's getting there because the argument says he should do it. He wasn't getting there because he's attracted by the freedom. That's an accidental discovery. That's what happens. You got there by attrition, by, you know, the obscenity of where you've been living. And the moment of inspiration gave you enough just to try it, just to put your foot in the door. And then you had this discovery. I feel good and I feel relieved. And that was the absolute beginning. And that's how John said, if you're in there with the bomb-throwing terrorist, you're going to get nowhere. It's a wrestling match. It's actually about just living for this and not for that. There's a clean... And so Tony makes that, I live for this, you know? And suddenly everything's easy. And the weights go off your shoulders. And the whole world opens up. The whole world opens up. It is like a near-death experience. In a near-death experience, someone falls off a cliff and land in a snowdrift and didn't actually die. They can report what happened. But as soon as you're falling and you actually know you're going to die, you give up the battling. The whole burden of the human condition just evaporates in that moment because you're going to die. It's no point. And so you just give up worrying about everything about the human condition. And suddenly you just absolutely flutter. The world becomes radiant. Everything becomes fabulous. That's how marvelous it is to be free of the human condition. And you're just tasting that when you give up that whole wrestling match with the fucking ego and all that shit. You're only just discovering is how, and it just gets better and better. So then you've got to cement that in. You've got to try and get back to that state more and hold it on more. But as John said, it's not a wrestling match with your ego and arguing with your ego, because that'll just get you nowhere, because it's so powerful and so willful and so fucking habituated, you know? It's just about living for this and not for that. Westy got that transformed state. Westy's a real gunned up guy, because his family were in dire straits when he was a kid, and so he tried to save the whole family because he's the eldest. He invented all these amazing designs. So, in effect, he became a parody, you know, got to succeed. So he's very gunned up. And anyway, so all these people around him get in the transformed state, and Westy's a very, very honourable, huge self-image and sense of responsible human. His dad was, I was at school and he was captain of the university or do some fucking thing. But anyway, so Westy's got this huge sense of responsibility about him. And so it was getting really obscene for him. So he's down the coast and he's putting in fences or something, you know. And he just decided in a moment of sort of clear seeing the situation, just to put in a fence post for the future world. So he said, I'm going to just do this fence post, not for my ego, with none of those wrestling matches involved, just for the new world. So I'll do it for that. And he actually genuinely did it. So, and he tasted that freedom. So he cracked the riddle, and then he did it again. Then he did it again. And now he's transformed because he tried it. He actually tried it. And then made this massive discovery. That's the falling off the donkey, blind for 3 days. Because he hadn't expected to discover what it's like to be free of the human condition. And it's the most fabulous discovery you'll ever make, to be free of the human condition. Because it doesn't. And if you do get in an argument with your old, you know, bomb-throwing terrorist fucking, it's pointless. You know, it'll argue every which way in the world. So it's simple, you live for this. And so when you said, you know, I booked at 9 o'clock or whatever it was, and I felt good, it's all in that. It's all in that. If you do more of that, you'll find you know, the relief will just keep flooding and growing. Do you know what I mean? Because if you can get down here, because it's so exciting down here, you know, it's such a wonderful family, and that it'll just help you so much. You know, it'll be so uplifting and inspiring, and honestly, it's just going to go. There's nowhere else in the world. Everything else is dying by the minute. I mean, by the fucking second, it's getting sicker and deader. This is the only thing alive on Earth, this little corner of the world. So that's why I've got this hanging around my neck, this little emblem of freedom, because this is the only little bit of truth in a sea of sand. The only other truth that I've ever come across is in the Bible, but that's all pre-science stuff. It's not in first principle, but that is true. So you might say, Jeremy, you carry that because you wrote the fucking thing and you're an egomaniac. It's not. It's because that's true and everything else is crap. Everything. That doesn't disappoint me. So I keep that right near my heart. And I fucking could, I'd have it stitched into my skin so you couldn't take it out. That's how precious that is. And it looks after me. And I look after it and my world is simple. You know, and everyone, this is so exciting and it's so explosive and so simple. There's no flaws in it. And if you read part three of that, you know, it goes through what the difference between this and religions are. Religions, the battle still hadn't been won, so you were weak to give up the battle. But the battle's won now, it's no longer weak. You know, and there's no guilt involved in this. There was guilt involved in religion, you know, you're evil. It goes through all the positives. And it's just, it's just a... Well, the only other thing I put a highlight in here, apart from, you know, wife is the man's helper, not the other way around, is that paragraph. Yes, the excitement and relief of being effectively free of the human condition, the joy and happiness of being liberated from the burden of our insecurities and self-preoccupations, so you're no longer in this wrestling match, the awesome meaning and power of finally being aligned with the truth and participating in the magic true world, the wonderful empathy and equality of goodness and fellowship that understanding the human condition now allows us to feel for our fellow humans, the freedom now to effectively focus on repairing the world, and above all, the radiant aliveness from the optimism that comes from knowing our species' march through the hell has finally ended and that human condition-free new world is coming. I mean, that's just a list of a tsunami of positives. It's just, you just couldn't line up a more positive, wonderful list of things. And they're all 100% available. There's nothing, absolutely naught, between us and all those things. All there is just to let all that go and live for this. Live for it every minute, you know? And the more you do that, the more relief you will come. And you will. You'll go through all these things. Oh, shit, you know, because we're instinctively, intuitively aware that giving up the battle was a weak thing, you know? So you'll go through self-doubt and think, oh, maybe I've become a weakling, you know? But then you just do something, no, this is not, the battle's won. It's over. That, all that resignation way of living is finished with. It's all had it. It's got no validity anymore. No justification. Everybody's free. Absolutely 100% free. All that's stopping them is habituation to living in that state, which is finished with. I mean, you know, this comes like a tsunami because it's so infectious, so unstoppable, so incredibly exciting. So you sneak around and just allow yourself to indulge that feeling of how exciting it is, because you've tapped into it now. And there's no limit to how much you can tap into that. And you, at no stage are you being indulgent or being faking it or being fictitious. It's all authentic. You can indulge that happiness to the nth degree, and it's totally legitimate happiness. And it's unbelievable. Like I keep telling him here, you know, because I wake up in the night, I did all my writing in the middle of the night and all this sort of stuff, but I have these earphones, you know, and I play the 60s music, and I try and stop myself doing it because it's like a drug for me. It's like, and I just put Jerry Lee Lewis on, you know, and I've worn out about two or three sets of earphones, and I put it on full bore, so I'm now half deaf, and I have these parties in the middle of the night, and I have to stop myself. because I get so excited. Because I can translate the wording of their songs, and if they're romantic songs, I know they're actually dreaming of the new world, and through the image of innocence, or from the girl's point of view, through, you know, being innocent and all that, you know. So I can translate, you know, and I love Tom Jones. So I listen to Tom Jones because I know Tom Jones starts off with something, you know, going home or some bullshit song, but I know he has this irresistible tendency towards the end of the song to get really excited, and he really start pumping. You listen to a Tom Jones song. And so what happens is, by the end of the Tom Jones song, he's going, he can sing like he wouldn't believe this Welsh tenor or whatever he fucking is. And he gets cranked up, and it's so exciting, the end of his songs. So then I've got this trick where I can use my, I'm hopeless with technology, so I've got to fast forward it because I just want to hear the end bit again. So I double click to get back to that song, right? And then I fast forward. It's actually very tricky. I don't know what the technology I'm using is antiquated or what, but you've got to hold it down and it'll go zzzt, but not too fast, because if you press too fast, it clicks the next song. So then you say, fuck, now I really concentrate. And not press it too hard. And you go, and just try to get the good bit, you know. And sure, I know the songs backwards, you know, and I know the really, you know, but it's so exciting because I know what they're singing about. Yeah. All this ever, honestly, when those prophets Isaiah, way back in the dark age, way fucking, 2,800 years ago, you know, all they were dreaming of. Because you can read those words of Joel and Isaiah, and there's no risk about it. They're talking about what's happening right at this moment in this little group, this little family of people. That's all they were dreaming about in all that time, from that far back. That's how exciting what we have arrived is. It's unbelievably exciting. You know, and everybody that's ever written or anything, you know, in their really good inspired moments have dreamt of this day and lived for it. Because everything in between is crap. Well, it's in, use that analogy, it's a resigned world, that's all crap. You can play it, you can do it, you know, you get a win, you know, I'm captain of the football club or whatever the fuck you did, you know? But you know it's crap, you know? And so, really, there was only one thing to live for, and this Freedom Day, you know, and it's fucking arrived. And it is incredibly exciting. It's just unbearably exciting. So I busted my eardrums you've got a foothold in heaven, mate, and he mightn't think it's much, but when you gave that a chance and just live for this, not get tangled up with the wrestling match about your ego, but just live for this, that's what it is. That's the stepping over the matchstick. It's that easy. It's not involved with, you know, just leave that and live for this. And it's, you have this amazing epiphany, you have this discovery of what it's like to be free of the burden of the human condition and how exciting it is. And then you do the wrestling match with, shit, am I a weak person or is this a fake thing or, you know, but it actually isn't. That's the astonishing thing. There's not any dags on this at all. It's absolutely fabulous. Everything about it. It's the most incredible moment in the human journey. But if you think about it, you know, how would humans have come through so much darkness to get to here? I mean, think of those people, you know, in the First World War jumping out of the trenches and getting mowed down by machine guns. And I mean, how did they do that? You know, how did they... Where's humans' ability to keep going and to keep trying, you know? It's because this day, they're living for this day. It's been the most incredibly exciting goal that we've had, to be free of this. And even if you go deeper, you know, and look at, well, Vanderpost does this. See, Vanderpost is a really good prophet. Because he's got it. I was going to talk about animals, you know, because animals are stalled earlier in the journey. But even animals know that this is down the track. And they're still, it's hard to be a crocodile and grab all the wildebeests and give them a hard time like you wouldn't believe, and, you know, and have blood and guts hanging out the side of my mouth and God knows what I'm going to do. Shit-house job, being a crocodile. But even that, they do sort of know that they're part of the bigger journey. And Vanderpost's got a fabulous one in there. And he talks about this journey, and he starts off a microbe, and then the microbe becomes, you know, do you know the story? And then this journey, this what? The Great Victory Parade, yeah. And he starts off with a microbe. And the microbe, you know, leads to that, and then the Bushman, you know, having died of starvation, and then the crocodile eating the wildebeestes, and then, he goes through all the horrors, but they all were part of this heroic journey. It's true. The Victory Parade. And they were all living for this day. You know, if they could all talk, you know, and the crocodile would say, look, for God's sake, don't be put off by my, you know, I'm dressed in armour and I've got the biggest set of jaws you ever fucking seen. Scare your kids shitless, you know, don't worry about it. You know, just keep doing your job, you know, try and stay away from them if you can. They'd all say that, you know. They'd all wish us well, you know. Everybody wishing us well. The trees are singing our praise and praying for us and hoping, you know. Everything is. Everything cannot believe what's happening.
He kept saying it was worth it.
Mm. That's right. Yeah. But it was worth it. Yeah, the microbe said this and then he got squashed. But he said, but it was worth it. And then the budgerigar got drowned in a, I don't know. Yeah, here, read it, Webby. Oh, okay. Just read something. I'll read it. I was allowed to attend a victory parade, as it were, of all the life that has ever been. I saw all that has ever been come streaming through the long lanes and corridors of my blood, through their arch of admiralty, round the inner square, and then straight down past my white lighted hall. My own white lighted hall. Out of the darkness that preceded Genesis and flood, it began with a glimmer and a worm of the unformed earth in love with the light to come. Yes, exclamation mark. A worm with a lantern, a glowworm, with phosphorescent uniform, marched proudly at the head, and behind came great streams of beings, prosaic and prehistoric. God, this mate, you can write well, so can this boy. Nothing was excluded and everything included. Their small fires of being clearly lit, tended and well beloved. This, it was said, is the true, the noble, heroic, unique crusade of the love of life. For look among them, not a brain, but only matter tentatively and awkwardly assembled. Yet remark on their bearing and the trust with which they hurl themselves into the uncomprehended battle. Ah! Exclamation mark. Tears of love and gratitude burned in my eyes at such urgently moving and life confiding a sight, to feel at last the burden that they carry for me in my own blood, because the whole history of in our genes and so forth. To know at every second several of these reflected in white corpuscle and scarlet cell are dying and unflinching in battle for all. To know that giant lizard and lion as well as unicorn came after and were hurled into singular struggle and defense of the totality of all. I was allowed to see the first man and register the seismic thrill of the marching column at the appearance of so skilled and complex a champion. I was allowed to speak to him and I touched his skin riddled with snake bite, his shoulder pierced by mastodon spike, his skull deep scarred with saber-toothed claw, and as reverently and tenderly... reverently and tenderly I took his hand, shaking with marshy malaria fever. I was moved to pity him by the evidence of such dread and unending war, but he would have none of it. He looked me fearless in the eye, and in a voice that boomed like a drum in his stomach said, "Brother, it was worth it. Whatever they tell you, add this, it was worth it." I spoke to a bushman half eaten by a lion in the Kalahari, his only vessel a brittle ostrich egg with red and black triangles painted neatly on it, now broken and sand-scattered. He looked in my grey eyes with the brown eyes of a people at dusk, slanted to bridge a chasm behind the face of a dying member of a dying and vanishing race. He too, my dying nomad brother, said, add quick before I go. It was worth it. I spoke to an Aborigine in the bright of the great gulf tattered with dung. He said, I vanished, but it was worth it. In New Guinea, I met a Stone Age Papuan. His black skin sheened with green after centuries in the jungle between basin and full of water and spurting volcano. And he too said, doubt it not, it was worth it. Everyone said, lovely gift of life that we blindly trust burns with such loving fire in the dark that at any price, no matter how great, it is worth it. Yes, they all agreed and utterly convinced me so that I can never doubt again. I wept when the great procession came to an end. For one and all, great and small, I loved them all. Yes, even to the worm that brought up the rear with shaded night light and a nurse's white, it is dressing concealed a phial of the drug of the greatest sleep, made with a touch of the hand of God. Great good night. And that's all. Yes, I love them all. I believe them. I am really ready for battle and to continue at their head the journey of them all to the end of the road in my blood. At last, purified and complete, I'm ready to awaken and defend my love. Face Beside the Fire, 1953. So how full of was he of the journey? And he knew we're going to break through, like at the end of the road in my blood. He set this up. He actually said, you know, under the Southern Cross, these answers will appear. That the Bushmans might start the first movements towards reconciliation. Amazingly prophetic. At last, purified and complete. That's where we are. I am ready to awaken and defend my love. It's amazing. So yeah, this is an incredibly exciting time. And it's only that far away. It's only, so you've broken into heaven. It's that simple and that amazing. So you want to feed it and yeah. And every little thing, you know now the principles. If you feed it, if you do something in that direction, you will feel good, you know. Sure, you're going to get a rush, you know, and everybody who joins the New Age movement gets a rush, or a feminist movement, or a multiculturalist movement, or a globalization fucking movement, you know. But this is the real rush. This is the real one. They're all fakes. This is it. There's not a dag on this. There's absolutely nothing negative about it. It's all on. It's really, really exciting, you know, and powerful.
And the rush is when you could actually stop and you could hear that other person, you know. You said, my mind wasn't preoccupied with myself, defending myself, my own needs. You could hear that other person, you were open, you were free. It's in that moment I feel that's quite extraordinary, because you actually can see how the world is saved. Because if I'm feeling that, if I can hear the other person, if I can feel for them, if I can be selfless, if I can do what's right for the world because I want to, that's the rush. Because you can see how you can stop, you know, the pain stops with me, the pain stops right here. Because if I'm living for this, if I'm doing what's right, as Johnny says, the world will be saved, you know. And that's what's so extraordinary, and that's what Jeremy talks about in chapter 9, the power of selflessness that's coming. It is something that we've had to deny because it's so confronting. But people working together, people doing what's right for humanity, you go from having a resigned heart, which Van der Post describes, you know, hearts with men of stone, to being alive, to going back to an authentic connection to the beginning of integrative meaning and living for each other. And but I'm fully defended, you know. I'm a total mess inside, devastated soul, but I can still feel and love, and that's all reawakened. And it's not a personal sort of freedom that lights my fire. It is the fact that personal product of that saves the world because you want everyone else to feel that. It's just, it is just that that victory march is extraordinary how it comes full circle. But I can feel all that and live for that, and it blows my head off. I still can't believe it. From where, you know, my devastated sort of psychological self, it is a total transformation of who I was.
So Annie said, when she began, she said, when you said, I'm talking to them, but I'm actually thinking in a different space, I'm occupying this excited state, so you're really not part of it anymore, like you were, they're a sort of another universe.
Other,
yeah. Yeah, see, you're tasted, you're outside of it now, looking into it, you're free of it, to be able to get... To see that, you have to be free of it to see it. So you've broken out, you know, and after all these years, you've finally discovered how to do it. And it's not complicated, you know, and you've tasted what it can be like. And you just got to develop that, you know. And Tony said, yeah, if you can take some initiatives that will feed it, you know, then that'll cement it in. So if the best thing I can think of is, fuck it, I'm going to fly down and spend an afternoon with them, you know? I don't care if they're digging a trench or whatever, as Tony was doing this morning, whatever. You know, it's just so good. I mean, I've been saying it from day one, you know, if you come in here and you cut one blade of grass for this project, it's worth a whole lifetime of shit you can do outside it. It's that simple. You live for this and nothing, everything's meaningful. Live any other way, it's meaningless. It is now because it's all over. The battle's won, there's no longer going, there's no justification for carrying on with it. So that inner voice that always said in Homer Simpson, listen, Ned, you're a fucking weak cunt, you know, you're not gonna fight, you know? That's gone. There's no whispers in the back of the mind on this. I'm just over the moon. I'm just so excited that you've tasted freedom. Anyway, it's really good for you two guys sitting either side to sit in on a transform experience, because you can see it all there. And so you can see, you know, when you're talking to people, you know, about the information, but that's really where the end point where you're looking for, where they get the freedom from it. Up to then, it's a wrestling match, and, you know, it's going to be at odds with their resigned state, and, you know, and that's all, that's going to be hard work. Whereas the transformed state, you know, and when you really integrate that, you know, you're going to have something to really resuscitate your soul, you know, because you'll be saying, well, shit, Jeremy said I've got all these fucking layers of onion. Well, you use the onion analogy, you know, to thaw out to get back to that. But you can actually tap into the excitement of that, you know, right now, and sort of, and use that to sort of get there quicker, you know. Because, you know, if you walk a mile in what Jimmy said, he said, so I got this sort of breakthrough, and now when I'm interacting with the old world, I'm kind of not part of it anymore. I'm not. I'm doing it. I'm going through the motions, but I'm sort of free of it, and so it's not sort of, it has no hold on me anymore, and I can see through it, and you know, that's because you guys have been wrestling with the old world big time. You know, having to fake it to make it and pretend to be there and masquerade. You know, you're a good bloke and all that stuff. But like you said, underneath, I wasn't happy. I was getting more and more desperate. You've got the same journey, Franklin, but so all those dreams you've had of all that shit not happening anymore and being free and being able to live a happy, secure life is right in front of you and available right now. So you can, even though you haven't gone through all the layers, you know, Tony would be very pleased to hear me say this. You can go there right now and have a party, you know, be soul, you know, immersed in the happiness and excitement of that world, you know, and be transformed in that sense, even though you haven't sort of worked through the layers yet, you know what I mean, the thawing out. Because, you know, they know the whole equation. You know that's all crap. You know it's all obsoleted. And you know that even though it's ancient past in your soul, there's this magic world that you're still in love with, but it's deeply repressed kind of thing or buried. It can come to life now. So you can get it out and have a party with it. And it's totally legitimate. You know, when you play your songs and when you listen to Franklin's piano playing, you know, it's very sensitive, you know. He's got very sort of almost effeminate fingers. He's very light and soft, and there's a very sensitive side of him in his music. It's so sensitive. It's almost like you can't allow yourself to approach it. It's so soft and sensitive, your music. And your singing too, by the way. You know, when you immerse yourself in that, the sensitivity that you had as a little boy and stuff that you still love and is your the shrine within you, you know, is so beautiful. It's such a treasured little place you've got there, Franklin. It's so lovely. And it's had to be so brutalized and stuff, you know, but it's there. It's in your music, it's in your writing, it's in your talk, you know. It's quite lovely. I mean, like Franklin's Stefan's talk is sort of buoyant and, you know, like a young 21-year-old, you know, it's quite sort of, you know, in your face kind of thing. But your talk is from further back. It's sort of softer and quieter and, you know, I have to get pressing to turn the volume up, but so we can hear you, you know. But it presupposes that soul in you is a long way, you know, it's very precious and very treasured, but it's still alive. But it's a very, very sensitive soul you've got in there. Really sensitive soul. Don't you think, Stefan? You listen to his music, you know.
I know.
It's really
sensitive. And it's coming out more and more and more and more often. And he's starting to realize it. Oh, he started realizing it a few days ago. Oh, he started to allow him to realize it. Because he realized it before, but now he's starting to enjoy it. And I'm sometimes just watching us Franklin going, and I can see it coming.
Are you talking about his music or just in his...
Not only the music.
Just his life, he's talking about. Yeah. He's a funny dude, Franklin, because he's super sensitive in there, you know, very soft center. And badly brutalized by the bad world, mad world. Not bad, mad world. And but it's still in there, you know. And so you can sort of, if you just sort of float around the edges and watch, and you can live off it almost, you know. He's got this lovely center, it really is. I mean, I it's so sensitive. I find it a bit unnerving because, you know, I'm so much a warrior in my life. I've had to be, you know. And so I've got to go back a few notches behind my level of soulfulness, you know, to tap into that. And it's almost embarrassing.
You had to be a warrior to break through, you know.
What?
You had to be a warrior to break through.
Yeah, I know.
You couldn't indulge your soul.
Yeah, no, I'm just a wreck, really. All I've ever done is fight.
Setting the world in order.
Yeah. But I love the sensitivity and you know. It's a lot to think about, you know. That I love your buoyancy and effervescence, and you know, and you're a big, you know, I don't know, you know, it's Austrian, you know, and you know, it's they're very interesting personalities, because the interesting thing with these guys, you see, they're unresigned, right? Clearly, so they've got this sensitive soul they haven't sort of brutalized. It's still there. So if you sneak around any unresigned soul, like even Olaf, you know, he's still got that. There's something in there that's not killed off. It's, you know, and if you're really astute and you tune in, you know, there's a lovely centre there that's still alive, you know, and that's precious to associate with, you know. almost just want to sneak around. Even though Olive's really sort of hurt and traumatised, fuck, you know. He's still alive there? There's something alive in Olive? So he showed up at the RGS launch in London, you know. And I'm trying to pigeonhole him pretty quick and see where he's at because I've got something that's happening in my head. And I had to keep backing off the layers to try to find, sort of make contact with where he is. Sort of, there's so much trauma on top, you know. He's been through so much. But there is something still alive in there. You know, like when he said at the end of the launch, and I said, what did you like about the talk, you know? He said, hey, he said, I loved it. I said, what did you like about it? And he straight away said, you know, that you tore the, you know, that you exposed pseudo-idealism. It just meant so much to him because it was so painful issue for him. And if you immerse yourself in that, you know, that's quite a lot of innocence to sort of be, because everyone else is bluffed by pseudo-idealism, tree-hugging and all that shit. But for him, it was just really seriously bad behaviour, seriously, you know, on the nose. He didn't like it at all. How much sensitivity has he got to know about that? To be so full of that awareness? You know? Anyway. Well, it's 7:10. So we've got lots to think about, and I'm just offensively babbling off at the mouth because I'm just so excited, Jimmy.
Yes. Talk all day.
I'm just so excited what you've told us. I think we all are. Yeah, but if you can, just come down and spend a weekend with us, you know. Go and see Johnny in Brisbane, you know. Johnny's a dreamboat. He's so funny. He's got the funniest sense of... Yeah, Biggsy, got the funniest sense of humour. It's just... scream a minute with Biggsy. I don't know how... I've got to go and see Johnny in court, how he does it. Because I can't talk to him for 5 minutes without he finds something and absolutely kill himself laughing at it. So I'm thinking, how do you get in court with a serious client and you're trying to win a case and you can't resist a joke coming up and say, well, that, imagine if we all... And then you can't do it. And laugh. He just laughs and laughs and laughs. Anyway, it's very precious to have you down here. It's been a great shot in the arm for us. We love you heaps, Jimmy, because you've been a big friend for us for a long time. We're so pleased you made this breakthrough, and we hope to see more of you. And as for these two, what a dream them showing up. Yeah. And how good that, Franklin, that your writing's already turned someone around. That's pretty good, mate. You're good. You're a good writer, huh? That's for sure. So, is there anything else we should... Anyone want to talk about anything?